You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we are talking about the massive impact Diego Maradona had after his passing. We also will discuss the MLS Cup playoffs and why the New England Revolution will win it, as we all predicted.
That's right. Plus, we also talk to Rachel Daly and Zarek Valentin of a rebranded Houston Dynamo and Houston Dash, and they're going to hold it down on this show. All right, pay us extra for that plug right there. That and more today on the Cooligans!
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris
and Allie Krieger, and you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
the Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby!
Yes. Let's go.
Come on.
We have returned after a 1 week break off of Fubo TV. I know everyone
was. That's
right,
kids. We're giving it another go.
That's it. Yeah, people were concerned our relationship didn't go to the next level. But no, we are still here.
We are bonded.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show on television. Yeah. Yep. Bar none, hands down.
As voted by the two people you see on screen right now. And we also voted it the gulliest, so stop the count, we good.
All right, okay, there's no voter fraud here. Stop asking questions, okay?
Well, in fact, why are you asking so many questions? I got questions about the questions you're asking.
Okay, it sounds like you're the fraud. You're the only fraud here.
I know,
okay.
Right? You got a lot of questions, and I'm not comfortable with it, so... I'm suing you, you know.
But yes, welcome to the show. We have a lot to discuss today. Obviously, we didn't. We weren't on air last week, but we got to, take a much needed break, refresh, regenerate, you know, come up with new ideas, new energy. Okay.
Wait, were we supposed to do any of this? Because I did none of it.
Okay. Now I'm about to tell you about this new multi-level marketing scheme.
Oh boy. No, you want to sell health shakes while on vacation?
No, obviously the biggest news that happened last week while we were not on television was obviously the death of Diego Maradona. Yeah. And a lot has happened even since then. I mean, there have been so many moving tributes. Just the amount of love that this man is receiving is he very much got it when he was alive as well. But
he was well aware. How much he was loved. But I think some of the things that have happened is like, you think you can't honor this person any more than he already was. But Napoli is changing the name of their stadium.
Yeah.
Instead of San Paolo, it's going to become the Diego Armando Maradona Stadium. They haven't figured out exactly what it is, but that seems to be leading the charge at the moment.
That and or I think Maradona Stadium or something like that. Those are the two finalists for the naming. But no, Napoli. I mean, players. How many players have worn Maradona shirts? Napoli. The entire team over the weekend came out wearing Maradona kits. Lionel Messi scores an incredible goal, a banger with his left foot. And does his tribute, takes off his jersey, and is wearing a new as old boys Maradona kit,
like the OG one. It doesn't even have a badge on it; it just has the sponsor on the front. And you want to know the weirdest thing about that? Somebody put this on Twitter. It's a almost exact copy of a Maradona goal from when he was at Newell's old boys. But I mean, down to the way the keeper dove, how many dribbles. Yeah. Where the defenders were. It's like, look, I don't believe in anything beyond the experience we're having right now, but maybe I'm wrong. It's simply like, and I know other things have happened, but just this goal being like legitimately 99% exact down to even the video angle is freakish as hell.
Yeah, I mean, look, they called Maradona God all the time, right? Maybe he's the one we should have been praising, because maybe he has some sort of real influence.
Now, look, I've read scriptures in the past. I don't remember God being heavily addicted to cocaine, but I will say, you know, hey,
he's a look. God is a complicated figure. All right.
Yeah. Omnipotent, not, maybe not so much, but, you know, he's definitely right. Got a phone number to a plug or two.
Have a couple flaws. It's no big deal. So, no,
God likes to party. What's wrong with you?
Look, you know, we've talked about it so much. I mean, Diego Maradona, obviously, you know, we've joked around. He is your father due to the
family he left behind in Cuba. No, the multiple families he left behind in Cuba.
But the influence he had on the sport is immense. It is very clear. And you know, when we found out the news, it was definitely like shocking for us. I mean, yeah. I grew up knowing about Diego Maradona, the World Cups and things like that. Mm-hmm. Never, you know, I didn't have like Argentinian friends that definitively made it clear what he meant to the country and to the rest of the world and things like that. And we're seeing that so much now. I mean, even during the vigil, you saw videos of Boca and River fans hugging, crying. You would never. That would never even cross anyone's mind, because they would have both be yielding weapons.
Remember, if they were remember that close not that to each long other. Ago that they threw bricks through the opposing team's bus.
I recall, Alexis.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember when it was such a heated rivalry that they had to play the game in Madrid, and now all of a sudden they're arm in arm. And I think it's, you know, one of the things is like, look, Diego Maradona, a complicated individual to speak about. There's a lot that's going on. Not talking about him as a person, just talking about what he did on the soccer field and the influence he had. It's just unimaginable, the influence. And it, you know, like the arguments as to who's the greatest of all time. Is it Pele? Is it Maradona? Just seeing the outpouring kind of gives you this idea that it's like, we shouldn't even be having that argument. Like, this person inspired people that weren't even soccer fans, you know, like even going far back as like, there's videos of Shaq being like, of course I know who Diego Maradona is. Like, he's the greatest. Kobe. It's like, there, this is like just the world of sports and everything that could inspire. This guy did that to the max.
Yeah. And then there was the one guy, I mean, this is how immense the love for this man is, that there was a guy in Argentina, he's a funeral worker, that took a selfie with Diego's body.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, this is the level of just fandom, fanatic.
He's been fired, by the way. This guy didn't get promoted. You didn't say what happened to him?
Yeah. I'm just saying.
They weren't like, good work, baby. You know, no, this was a bad. Not
okay.
Good.
Yeah, you know what? We're going to give you a raise, because that was, you're really thinking outside the box. You're really,
you're actually thinking a little bit inside his box, which is leave him alone in that box.
Yeah.
The doctor's house just got raided because they just want to make sure everything was on the up and up. I mean, that's how important this man is, the poor doctor. He actually said, you want to know what I'm responsible for having loved him and taking care of him, for having extended his life, for having improved it to the end, which is also what when a younger woman marries like an older man, you know, like,
yeah, this is Michael Jackson's doctor, you know, what he was saying.
that's exactly what you would say. That's from a script about a doctor who killed his patient for the insurance money. But I don't think that's it, obviously, allegedly.
Yeah.
And wow, MLS playoffs have not gone at all how I thought they would go.
they really have not. Yeah.
No.
It's been pretty wild. Obviously, last week, New England beat Philadelphia. Seattle beat LAFC, which is not a huge
Seattle
surprise.
I expected Seattle, because it's Seattle. I feel like they shouldn't even be. They shouldn't even have to play the regular season at this point.
And LAFC did have a bunch of positive COVID test results, and a lot of their good best
really,
players could not play.
Only their important players, so no big deal.
Yeah, it was really very targeted, very specific. These positive test results. Yeah. It's almost like COVID knew.
Yeah. And COVID had money on Seattle, you know?
But the big results just the other night, obviously New England moving on. They beat Orlando in a crazy game with red cards, penalty stops, 90 missing penalties. Pretty incredible. And then Columbus beats Nashville 2-0.
But Nashville getting this far as the 7 seed is probably just as big a story.
Yeah, I mean, but New England as the 8 seed also getting this far is kind of, you know, not really expected. But I think the catalyst for New England really was Carlos Hill coming back. He missed the entire season, comes back for the first playoff game, and boom, he's and then now look how dominant they
and
are.
And is making Bruce Arena look like a genius. But also, even when they're up a man, they're like, nope, we don't want possession, baby.
Nah, we don't need
you go
it.
Ahead. Okay. We'll hit you when you least expect it, my G.
No, I think they've been the best. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a Seattle New England final. Because New England has, they've just looked great. And shouts to Tayshaun Buchanan, who is a converted winger, right? I believe he's a winger. And now he's playing at I think right back or left back. And dude is a balling. He is, whenever he's playing, he's defending when he needs to. But when he's up front, he's obviously pacey, incredibly
great crosses.
Skilled. Great cross, just beating people. He's looking great. Yeah. Bruce is a genius. He's like, you know what? You're playing in the wrong position, okay? Bruh. He's, we had DeJuan Jones, and it was kind of the same thing. And DeJuan Jones has also looked great as well. So, I mean, look, we can get mad at Bruce about Trinidad forever. Because if you look at any New England Revolution tweet, the comments are always about Trinidad.
Wild spicy about Trinidad. You know what I mean? But hey, look, and he says he doesn't care about redemption. He just wants to win. Just like, the dude's saying all the right things. He's got the team playing pretty well. It's not the most exciting soccer, I'm not going to lie. You know, it's a little old school for my taste. But hey, okay. Leicester City won playing this way, so why can't they, you know?
No, they've been pretty impressive.
And they've also been using the word dub a lot, and I honestly think it's on purpose, okay? I think it's pointed at us because they know you're wrong, Christian, but they're trying to help you win.
Look at what you have done to the soccer community, okay?
We said we wanted to change the culture. This is not what we meant.
you've turned them against you directly.
Which actually I kind of love. I'm not going to lie to you.
So, we're excited about today because we have a Houston Dash and a Houston Dynamo player. Obviously, both teams have done a big rebrand, and they obviously we're going to be joined very shortly by Rachel Daly and Zarek Valentin.
I see the shirt behind you, but they also sent us a bunch of cool stuff. Look at this.
Yes. I got, they sent a box out here. Hold it down. Okay. H-Town.
That box, I broke it down and put it in recycler. So look at this. The logos are actually really cool.
We got some hats and we got a bandana. Boom. Look at it. It goes with my NWSL hoodie. Okay.
Okay. All right, wear the Dynamo one.
If I want to cover my braids, also look at my braids, everybody. I got braids.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You got braids, baby.
Didn't even mention it. I got it a while ago, but look at this. But yes, so we're going to be joined by Rachel Daly and Zarek Valentin of the Houston Dynamo and the Houston Dash in just a bit. So come right back after this.
Hey everybody, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to break up with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right, Gully Squad. The last, during quarantine, Gully Squad has not only become a dope soccer community, but it's becoming a vital space for my emotional well-being.
Okay? Yes, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have anyone to talk to a lot of the time. And also, I would not know what an apple crisp is.
Okay, yeah, we are. There's so much communication and sharing of food. It's I don't really dwell in that channel too much.
No, you're not allowed to. Your girl can see it on your face that you're looking at food.
She goes through my phone not to look for like texts from other girls. She's like
booty pick, booty pick, booty pick sandwich.
Then what is this? How dare you betray me like this?
She's messaging me, home wrecker.
Gully Squad is obviously the Cooligans community. Of people that are fans of soccer, fans of comedy, fans of food, fans of pizza. It's an opportunity to help support the content that we put out, help us put out more content that we can deliver to the masses, and also get some exclusive content for yourself. So there's a bunch of really cool things going on in there. We have an amazing Slack channel that may or may not exist. Who knows?
Hey, even even though we just talked about it.
Exactly, but you know, it's vague. It's very vague. So you can join at any level. You can join. You can give like $5, $10. You can give more. If you give more, there's more perks involved, like you know, merch and a pin and stickers and different things like that. So it's if you're a fan of soccer, if you're a fan of comedy, we highly recommend you joining, and it definitely helps the show grow. So we can do a bunch of other fun things, you know, in 2021 when we can finally travel, we can be able to go do live shows and do live events and do a lot of other things like that. So
plus you get some really exclusive stuff, like when we release the pins, you get a pin for joining.
That's right.
When we release the pop socket, you got a pop socket for joining, stuff like that. So there's a lot of really good exclusive stuff. It's not just being a part of the you know, Slack channel that may or may not exist, but trust me, that's a dope part of it.
Very much so. So go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button now.
Hi, baby, and we're back on the Cooligans Living Room FC. And I know you're thinking, wait a minute, what is that on your head? Alexis, look, all right, Christian goes out and gets braids. Yo, your boy had a stunt a little bit, okay? So yeah, this is what you wear when it's hot out, you know what I mean? Okay. I'm Houston. I'm Houstoning right now.
I think I'm Houstoning too. I have no idea.
We got to get diamond fronts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We gotta get you one of them pimp goblets.
Okay.
And together.
So, Fubo, up the budget a little bit, okay? What's the pimp goblet budget looking like? Okay?
Yo, what's going on with Diamond Fronts? How come I haven't seen that mentioned in any of the production meetings, you know?
Okay, I'm sure they got that on ESPN FC. No, we're absolutely stoked today because we have two insanely huge guests.
This is better than any diamond front you could give us is a conversation with these two people.
Correct.
I mean, speaking of stunting, all right, we saw one of these people stunting all over the NWSL Championship Cup. Oh, Challenge Cup. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then the other one was watching the Challenge Cup like we were, okay?
Yeah, he was. But he was doing it with Bad Bunny on in the background. So, like, right?
So
both
all good.
Champions, you know? Ladies and gentlemen, we are honored to have these two talk a little bit about what it is that I'm wearing also. You probably know them because you watch soccer and you absolutely love them. Put your hands together. In fact, if you're driving, pull over, put that bad boy in park, pull up the emergency brake so nothing happens to you. Throw on the emergency lights and put your hands together for the two, the only, Rachel Daly and Zarek Valentin, everybody.
What's up, guys?
How's it going?
Hey.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really, really appreciate it. I know right now, you know, look, I'm rocking the orange. Houston is going through a lot right now. You know, there is obviously the big rebrand, the new logos, the photos are looking dope. The you know, James Harden with the beard promoting as well. What's it like for you two to be a part of this kind of new look for the Dash and the Dynamo? So let's start with Rachel.
Yeah, obviously I'm in England right now, so it's a little bit different for me. I'm looking at it from afar. But yeah, I've obviously been a part of it and known what's going on for a while. And I think the rebranding is, for me, something that I think the clubs have been working on for a while to merge us as one. You know, I think obviously with the way that the logo has gone, it's very much similar. And yeah, I think just rebranding us as one club and the hold it down thing that we've been using for a while now. So I think, yeah, for me, it's good. It's good to get a feel for the fact that we are one club and everyone sort of knows that now. So it's a little bit more special feel, like an internal feel versus, you know, just a Dynamo and Dash logo. I think now it's more like a one, it's a collective.
Yeah, Zarek, what are your thoughts?
Definitely. Along the similar lines as Rachel, we talked about how incorporating the FC really brought that all together with the Academy, with the Dash, with the Dynamo. And from what my understanding was before I got here last year, it was a little bit more separate. And they kind of, every club did their own thing. But, you know, we're sharing the gym together. We're in there with the same facilities. We're going through some of the similar programs. We hope the Dash can give us some of their wins and, you know, training sessions, whatever that might be.
It's the right thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's been great. I think the fans are excited to see a different path of the team. It's not been from a Dynamo perspective. It's not been the most glorious history recently. But the way they tied in together, the successful start in 06 and 07 with the Bayous and with the city in general, I think they took a lot of time and created a very unique logo for the Dynamo and the Dash.
Yeah, when you, now that everyone is saying like they're both together and it's us, Zarek, are you like, does that mean we also won the NWSL Challenge Cup?
Listen, I wasn't invited to any of the celebrations. I mean, I'd have been there if I was invited, but it's all good. I actually went out to the drive-through celebration they had at the stadium, which was pretty dope to see all the fans, the line. I actually cut the line because I didn't feel like waiting 3 hours to go through it. And I was sitting there like, I have a son, we got to go back for our nap. But to see them and all the support they got from the city was incredible. And I'm so happy for all the success they had, because it's not just winning, because teams can win playing boring, but they did it in such a cool way and did it with such style and pizzazz. And that was great to see.
Okay. Yeah, and Rachel, I guess, you know, I know you're in England now, and I want to talk about that, but talking a little bit more about the Houston Dash, getting a chance to stunt and flex all over the NWSL Challenge Cup the way you guys did. What do you think about that? And also, what do you think about this sort of, I don't know if it's renewed or just this increased amount of attention soccer, women's soccer in particular, has now in the U.S.? It must be exciting.
Yeah, it's definitely exciting. I think, you know, again, like Z said, like the way that we won was obviously so special for us. And I think we had so many people and so many doubters against us thinking we would never get that far. And our odds were something stupid, like 200-1 or 2,000-1 or something stupid. And yeah, I think the fact...
Okay, Leicester City. Yeah,
there you go. Wow. Exactly. You know? Exactly. I'd love to be like Jamie Vardy, so I'll take that. but yeah, I think it's so good for women's football. I think, you know, just to have not the normal team, the normal teams winning the league. And, you know, I think the Challenge Cup was so different from the league and so different from the typical NWSL season that it actually, where people thought, oh, it's just a little tournament, it grew such a big fan base. It grew such big audiences and watching the game and took it to a new level. So I think it's been fantastic for women's football in America.
Yeah. From watching it, by the way, you were so focused and intense during the matches. I'm like, this thing needs to be over because I think Rachel's gonna have a heart attack. You didn't blink the entire Challenge Cup.
I think I blinked at the beginning, like, and then I woke up the next day and we won. So
Yeah.
Not bad.
Like Liam Neeson.
You open your eyes again and it's just Christy Mewis holding
exactly,
all the Budweisers.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't really remember much about the winning the day that we won. So thanks to Budweiser.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm curious, maybe we can get your perspective, Rachel. The fact that the clubs that Dynamo and Dash are want to be more united. You've played for different clubs. You, from your perspective, like I'm sure, it occasionally feels like, you know, the women's team is this afterthought, and the fact that there is that sense of unity. How does it feel like? What are the differences that you clearly sense from a club that doesn't do that and one that does?
Yeah, I mean, for me, when I've been at the club, this will be my sixth season. So, you know, the first few years, I did feel like the Dash were on the back burner. I did feel like we didn't get the support that we needed or what we wanted and what we looked for every single game, every single day at training. But, you know, I think as the game has grown and as, you know, players like Z have come in and actually respect women's football and respect what we have and what we've done and what we can achieve and people buy into it, I think, you know, the Dynamo really bought into that. And especially over the last year or so, it's been a complete different change. And I think almost like a makeover for the club. And, you know, all the men's, the Dynamo players, they all talk to us at training. They always interact with us. And, you know, when I first came in, it was like, this is the Dynamo, you're not allowed in there. And this is the Dash and you're not allowed in there. And it was so separated. And now, like we said, you know, we're training together, we're in the gym together, we see each other all the time and we all go to the men's games, they come to our games, and it just has that nice feel of we are actually one club and it's not men and women, it's we both want to win and we want to win for the club.
That's awesome. Yeah, and Zarek, I mean, obviously you came from Portland and the connection to Timbers and Thorns are really like definitively have that. How do you feel about like continuing that kind of practice of really uniting both clubs?
It's definitely a process. It's not something that can just be snapped in over, you know, right away. I had the pleasure of seeing and the Thorns up close and personal with the support from the fans and seeing how good players in this league are. I don't think I missed a game for 3 years or something along like that, but to see every team come in and I'd be like, oh my goodness, like who's that, and look at the program and you see Rachel's name pop up and then you get down here and you meet some of them and then you see their desire and you see the skill that they have. And also I'm a huge fan of just believing in the process of that. And I had an appearance I always talk about with Rachel at the beginning of the season, And we, you know, one of the hype videos for the season. And I remember talking to Rachel about her expectations. And she told me this year felt different. And I think she's been with the club five or six.
This will be my sixth.
So six. So this is, you know, she distinctly told me this year would be different. And it had a different feel. And she was super excited about it. I think she was right. So it was just fun to see them grow and see the team kind of take shape and you know, go through a little bit of adversity, you know, be the underdog a little bit. And then now suddenly they were, you know, up there raising that trophy. And it's been great to see that. And I think that success and some of the guys truly getting rid of a stigma around, you know, the women's game, kind of like Rachel was saying, you know, they talk about television ratings and all that BS. Because when you put it on TV, you see all those records being shattered. And people still don't want to talk about it. So these things are out there and you have to kind of get rid of that stigma. And once you kind of open your eyes a little bit, you start to realize like these girls are pretty friggin' dope. And it's cool that, you know, we play for the same club and underneath the same umbrella as them.
Rachel Daly is currently in England on loan at West Ham. And it's been this summer has been interesting. Definitely, you know, watching the Women's Super League games has been so much easier. They air them on NBC Sports here. You can use the FA player app. And it's great. And I've been watching a couple of West Ham matches. First thing you notice, I mean, this team is amazing. This is a really good team, super entertaining to watch. Rachel, what has been the this year? What's this year been like? I mean, obviously after the Challenge Cup and going out on loan, there's been a lot of players from NWSL that obviously just want minutes and things like that. So what's it been like at the club and having some positive results?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, you come off the back of playing in the Challenge Cup and winning. You know, I was on a team where we'd not had success for a long time, and it's frustrating. And then obviously winning the Challenge Cup, you feel, okay, now I'm getting some success. And then obviously I've come here, yeah, I want to get minutes, but, you know, I wanted to play for a club whose identity wasn't necessarily the top three. It was a club who, you know, had a mission to get there and you know, had good values. And, you know, I think for me, that's why I chose West Ham. And obviously for me, it's been very disappointing. We haven't really achieved anywhere near what we wanted to by this point in the season. We haven't won the games that we wanted to win, but we've played good football. There's some really unbelievably talented players here, and you know, I think the staff have worked really hard on creating a team and a team identity and the culture within the club. So it's really frustrating that we haven't had the wins that we feel like we deserve, but the league's exciting. Like you said, there's a lot of NWSL players over, which is again a good thing for the NWSL and a good thing for the FA WSL. So yeah, it's been exciting, but again, not very disappointed with the way it's gone so far in terms of points on the board.
I mean, if you know, for the FAWSL Cup, though, you guys are balling, right? 3 out of 3 wins so far, 3 out of 3 match days. When you look at that, I mean, there is an opportunity to win a cup. I mean, is that something, obviously, every player sets out to win a cup, but are you like, I'm kind of used to this now, you know? This is kind of what I do, so we need to win a trophy here.
No, I mean, yeah, like, I think, obviously, the girls set out at the start of that season here, the ones that, you know, are here in contract for seasons, and they obviously, the Continental Cup is a big cup for them, and you know, it was something on our to-do list to get out of the group stage and go on and progress into the next rounds of the cup, and we've done that. We did that last night, so we've moved on. Unfortunately, I probably won't take any more part in that cup because obviously my loan ends, but I think West Ham will go on and do well in that cup. But yeah, definitely one of the targets was met, and you've got to keep pushing on and hopefully go on and win that cup.
Okay. And the, you know, a lot of times people are always like, you know, what are they always compare leagues, right? I mean, this happens obviously in men's leagues and women's league. And right now I think it's a pivotal time, I think, for women's football and especially NWSL and especially the WSL. What do you think are there any things that you think the leagues can learn from each other? Because obviously the Women's Super League, the connection to these huge brands of clubs, obviously West Ham, Manchester United, Manchester City is like, huge brands. Is there anything you feel like the NWSL can learn from the Women's Super League and vice versa?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, you know, there's such competitive leagues. I think they're very different. You know, I think I've learned a lot by being in this league, but also learned a lot and bringing my experiences from the NWSL. I don't know necessarily that you can compare the two. I think clubs such as Manchester City versus maybe even using Dynamo, I don't think you can compare the the brand that they have and the level of the branding that they have. But I think the way that we, in terms of a club, market our program and market the Dynamo and the Dash together, I think that's something that every club needs to have and every organization needs to have. And it's not just one team, not just two separate teams. It's one team as a collective. But yeah, I think the leagues are very different. I think in England, we're born and raised as footballers. And if we're going to play football, that's what we're going to do. Whereas I think in America, you know, a lot of the girls on my team at Houston have been multi-sport athletes growing up, and we never had that here. So I think you see that different level playing in the US versus here. There's a lot of different level, different type of athletes, whereas here you're just footballers and that's all you know. So I think that's the main difference is maybe the athleticism. But yeah, I think it's definitely good for me to experience it. I think it's definitely a lot more physical. I think I've got a lot more bruises on my legs and my eye in this league so far than I have in the NWSL in 6 years. So
okay. Yeah. I think the benefit of being a multi-sport athlete and when then you play soccer or football is that you got the American players are better at throw-ins, mm-hmm. right? That has to be the best bet.
Hey, I've got a long throw, you know, and I've just discovered it about 10 days ago that I've got a long throw and I didn't even notice. So
10 okay. days ago?
maybe I'm a closet American. No. Cut.
Yeah, you're like, there's no cheese on this black pudding.
Where's the ketchup?
Rachel Daly. Where'd you get that accent, Brooklyn? All right, let's go. Zarek, when you look at the season, obviously we've talked a little bit about Houston Dash having a wonderful season. Houston Dynamo didn't have the season that y'all guys definitely set out to have. What do you think about sort of just the renewed excitement around some of the new players, especially the new coach? And what do you think is going to happen next year? What are you guys hoping to do next year?
Yeah, similar to Rachel, it's interesting when you look back at results and they don't go in your favor, but then you ultimately know and are somewhat satisfied with the way you played. It's a really odd feeling. And I was talking to someone, I think I was talking to one of the coaches in my offseason, and, you know, let's look at the game against Dallas. We played in the middle of the season. We crushed them, had anything the first half. We come in at halftime and we're down a goal because they scored goal of the year. You know, Ricaute hit some volley from half field.
Yeah, yeah.
and we looked at that game. We had two breakaways we missed in the first half. And so, you know, we eventually tied it. Memo scored a banger of a free kick. And you go in and you're thinking, like, man, like, we're playing so well. But it's just individual moments and margins are so small. But I think the biggest thing when you rebrand is you have to change the mindset of the team. With a lot of the players, the mindset was from the old staff. And the team was built for Wilmer and previously. And now you have a new coach with a new style. So you have to obviously go through a transition of players. And just philosophy. And I think that there was this mental change I saw amongst players to just not be okay and not necessarily give in once we go down a goal. And there's way too many instances where we would be down at halftime and come back and tie the game when we ultimately had the majority of possession and shots and created, I think we had the, you know, most third or fourth most expected goals in the league compared to some of these other playoff teams. So it's a process, and it's exciting with the new branding and a new coach because you can see that the club is actively moving forward. And for me, the mindset's almost harder than getting results because that's really tough to break down and something to change. So it's exciting to go forward. And I know I'm really happy to re-sign and be a part of that.
Real quick, Rachel, right. I know you obviously are loaned out there in West Ham, and we're filming this on the day that news just broke about your team. You're getting to play two positions. I'm joking. Your manager actually was just no longer with the team. When it goes through something like this, you're on loan, so you could be like, y'all need to fix this. I don't know about y'all, but you are clearly, right? You picked West Ham on purpose, right? And it's a team you wanted to go to. So is there anything you want to mention about it? Is there anything you want to say about the club and this decision that was just made?
Yeah, I think the club's a fantastic club, and Matt has been there from the beginning, and he is, you know, laid the foundations and built on the foundations of what they initially set out to do. He's a fantastic manager, a great coach, and ultimately one of the biggest decisions why I came here was for him. You know, he's been a part of my journey and I've known him for a long, long time. And, you know, we were unfortunate with the results not going our way this season so far that he's obviously had to take the brunt of it, which is sad and, you know, really sad for him. And football's a really harsh game to be in sometimes, but I'm sure he'll go on and succeed wherever he goes. And yeah, obviously wish him the best. But, you know, it's a transitional period and obviously we've got the international break right now. So hopefully, you know, we've got the interim stepping in as the goalkeeper coach and the assistant coach. And yeah, obviously they're looking for a new manager now and they need to find one that can, you know, take them for the next few years rather than just somebody in the meantime. So think they're taking their time with that.
And then you did mention international breaks, international duty in general. You are the first English national that we have had on the show, and we're absolutely honored. Okay. And we've had
English national player, because English is something very different.
Let me see your passport. No, it's not simply that.
Yeah.
But I'm curious because we've had several U.S. women's national team players on the show. And when, you know, as Americans and speaking to U.S. women's national team players who are generally, you know, just so dominant when it comes to, in the international game.
What are your thoughts on that, Rachel?
And that's what I want to sort of ask about. What is the perception? What is the view of England? Because England has definitely been improving. There is definitely a real challenge there when it comes at World Cups or just in games overall against the U.S. Women's National Team. What's the feeling like? What's the temperature like amongst the England women? And how are we going to take down this giant?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always going to be an element of fear, whether anyone wants to admit that or not. You know, when somebody's number one in the world and have been number one in the world for a very long time, if you don't fear them a little bit, I think you're not a human. What is that word? Inhumane, maybe?
Inhuman and inhumane are two different things.
Yeah, you guys invented the language, so yeah, don't go ahead.
You guys just butchered it. I don't know why I'm asking you three.
Ask the guy from Newark and the dude from Brooklyn. Come on.
Yeah. But yeah, I do think there's an element of fear and, you know, respect at the same time. You got to respect somebody who's number one in the world. But yeah, I think we're right there with them, to be honest. I think, you know, obviously the semi-final of the World Cup was one of the best games I think people have probably ever watched in a long time in terms of women's football. And VAR stepped in the way and ruined it for us. But no, I think, you know, they're an excellent side. You know, I think they've, you know, you can't argue with what they've done and what they've achieved and how successful they've been. But, you know, I think everyone's catching up now and I think the race is on. And, you know, I think there's maybe 1 to 6 in the world right now that are all really, really heavily competing with each other. And I think it's obviously making a big name and stance on women's football.
Yeah, and Zarek, I know you've been kind of an outspoken advocate, and it feels weird to have to say it, but you've been an outspoken advocate of the women's game here in America. From your point of view, just from being in Houston and watching what the Houston Dash were able to do, watching some of the statistics come out, which you brought up afterwards and how much it was balling, what's it like to see just that little bit of sort of like, aha, I told you so. This is balling. It's a great game. How does that feel just from your point of view to get to see that and to see what Houston Dash were able to do up close?
Yeah, I love it. I'm a huge advocate. I got to choose between a Dash mask and a Dynamo mask yesterday from one of my media appearances. And naturally, I picked the Dash mask. For me, it's just been one of these things where it's not even I want that I told you so moment. I just enjoy seeing the aha. I enjoy seeing someone come in and be like, dude, did you see that? You know, did you see Shay's header? You know, did you see Rachel win the ball back and drive to the corner and cross? Like, did you see these things? Like, and then I go, yeah, duh. And then eventually when people have that kind of moment, that's enjoyable. And I must say that you could see the level of the league is getting better, at least the NWSL, which then is also making the level of some of the better national teams across the world get better. So instead of somebody just, you know, doing really well, you look at the French national team and you see Rachel for England, and then you see obviously a lot of the U.S. players getting developed and some of the younger players come through the ranks. It's great to see that the overall, just the quality of the women's game is getting higher too. And it makes it better to watch. And again, it's one of these things where there's just such a stereotype that, oh, it's, you know, we don't want to watch it. It's not slow or these things. Like, have you actually tuned in and watched a game? Have you taken the time to see some of the players to get to know them? Like, they're pretty damn good. And you have to shed this stereotype. And then once you do, you see that the viewership went up some crazy number. And again, people still don't want to publish that with some of these things with the NHL and stuff like that. So they're still breaking barriers, but it's exciting to see and to go even on a global stage with, you know, with Kamala Harris, you know, getting, you know, becoming a VP, you see women are consistently breaking boundaries. Yeah. And I can always say that for me, it's always coming from having a strong woman out there, you know, managing Cam, you know, doing her own thing and, you know, applying for a master's and stuff like that. So for me, it's just great to see. And it's cool to call Rachel friend, even if she's trying to steal my position at right back now. Apparently, it left. I'm not a big fan of that, but it is what it is.
The one thing, and when I hear those either stereotypes or criticisms about the women's game, I play in a Sunday league, and I play. The league is called NYC Footy, and there's one team that is called Exceptional Women, Average Men, and the majority. It's a co-ed league, but the majority of the players are women. There's probably one or two men on the team. I hate playing this team. They're so good. They're incredibly dominant. I get megged by women all the time. And I'm like, what are people talking about? Criticizing the women's game. Like, you haven't been embarrassed by women playing soccer enough to hold on to that sentiment. So that's why it gets me so annoyed.
I also love the argument about the ratings. Every time I yell it, it goes up a couple hundred points. I'm like, it went up 438% the next show. I'm it was like 643% better. Like, what are you talking about?
Every time. Oh, of course. Listen, I was just astonished to see that, I was paying CBS All Access, buying it in Orlando so I could watch all these games. You know, seeing Rachel's team kind of ascend. I just wanted to see you celebrate with that slide. I wanted to see you dive down it.
I should have.
Shay do the old airplane and just crash into it or something like that. Oh, man.
Rachel's in West Ham. Like, I got the bubbles thing, but have we thought about a slide? I'm just saying.
All right. That's great. Now we got some questions from Gully Squad. Gully Squad is our supporters group. Okay. So we have a great question. First,
they're from holding it down for us.
Okay. Let's work it out. Dennis Higgins asked, this question is for Zarek. He said, is there a difference between Caleb Porter, the college coach, and Caleb Porter, the pro coach?
Hell yeah, there's a difference. Are you kidding me?
He's like, money.
Yeah, he used to drive a Toyota. Now he drives a souped-up BMW. Okay, the biggest thing I would say is in college, he was much more of a teacher in terms of tactics and stuff like that. We were young, impressionable college kids, 17, 18, 19 years old. So a lot of it more was teaching. Whereas obviously as a pro coach, you're managing because the players have a lot of the knowledge. And yes, you can still talk tactics and ideas and stuff like that, but pretty much the foundation of a lot of those things is standard. The one thing I would say is definitely the most consistent is he was screaming, get the ball to Darlington in college, and it hasn't changed. In Portland, it's the same thing, and now in Columbus. So
he's like, Zarek, stop touching it.
You're doing too much.
Listen, give the ball to Darlington. Yeah.
Dennis also had a question for Rachel. He said, do the Hammers really have as much fun as it looks like you're having on Instagram? Of all the professional teams I follow at all levels in sports, you guys have the best social media presence.
Really? That's actually surprising. I don't know why that's surprising, but we do have fun. It's a good group of girls. I think, it's a great environment to be in. And yeah, I guess it is pretty fun. Can't complain.
Yeah, I think it might be surprising because the Houston Dash spent 7 months holding a bunch of empty Budweisers.
That's amazing.
I think I'm still drunk. So
yeah,
You know what? We've gotten pieces of the celebration stories. We had Jane Campbell on the show. We had Shay Groom on the show. How did Rachel Daly celebrate? What was your seat on the plane on the private jet? How did you celebrate that victory?
Yeah, after the game, I think I was the first one in there, to be honest. I was like, where is the beer? people were doing, lining the confetti and doing snow angels on the floor. And I was like, no, where's the beer? Like, I've waited four weeks, whatever it was.
I need a beer.
Like, I need it now. So I think I
ran. Did you drink your first one or did you pour it? Did you drink did you actually...
No, I drank it because I walked out of the change rooms on the way into the game. Like, I haven't even gone out for warm-ups, and I was like, I need to be in that room after this game. So we need to win this game. So I just remember just literally chugging a beer, and then the rest went everywhere. And then I had a press conference with Shay, actually. And we both took a Budweiser in there while we did the press conference. So I was like, well, I'm not stopping now. Like, let's rally, keep going. That just went on all day. And then the plane ride was probably the best part about the whole thing, to be honest. I think everyone was just so hungover, but then continued to get drunk. And James was so funny. And Yeah, it was just, it was a good time. The plane was a very good time. I won't really go into what went on the plane, but it was a good time. So.
Yeah. Please leave some of that for when the cameras are off.
The one thing we've spoken about this on our show several times, but it seems like when there's a women's championship versus a men's championship, I want to see the women celebrate more than the men celebrate. I feel like women, you know, I mean, you're in West Ham, but they go ham.
Yeah.
when it comes to celebrating victories, is there any I don't know, is there any accuracy to that? The celebration seems to be a little bit more entertaining.
Yeah, you know what? I think I can't even comment for women in general, but I think for the Houston Dash, we've never won anything, and so we had our hearts set. Like Z said at the start of this thing, like when I first met him, I told him there was something different about this year, and I genuinely believed that. I genuinely felt it, and I don't know what it was at the time when I said it, because it was really early on in the year. And I don't know, something just clicked and we got closer and closer. We were winning a few games and we lost a couple of games. But in my mind, I was like, we're going to win this whole thing. Like nothing was getting in our way. And then obviously, as the final drew closer and closer, we were like, I was like, we're going to win this whole thing. But you still have that little seed of doubt where you're like, well, what if we don't? Like no one's going to remember us for getting to the final. Like we've worked this hard and it doesn't even matter anymore. And so I think the fact that we obviously haven't won anything in the past and to do that in such a way that we did, I think that was why we probably went so ham.
Okay. And Zarek, any thoughts on Christian's proposal here that men don't celebrate as ham as the women do?
if the Dynamo claim any victory, I just that's all I'm gonna say. If the Dynamo we get something.
All right, well, you got time to think of something done. Then. You know what I mean?
I think that's where the Dash and the Dynamo are gonna be the most competitive in how to possibly out celebrate each other. Over victories.
Listen, if that's going to be our competition,
we can celebrate together.
Okay.
Yeah. Listen, if that's going to be the thing where we're both celebrating our victories and who can do it better, I think I'll be okay with that. That's something
I'll take that any day.
All right. Thank you so much to everyone for watching and joining us on another Cooligans Living Room FC with Rachel Daly and Zarek Valentin of the Houston Dash and the Dynamo, respectively. Thank you so much to both of you for joining us. You guys absolutely crushed it. Is there anything you want to let people know about before we sign off? Rachel, would you like to go first?
My social media handles are all at @RachelDaly3, so give me a follow. And just a big shout out to the Dynamo and Dash for the big rebrand.
No, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Roger Espinoza, Minor Figueroa, Boniac Garcia, who are raising funds for Honduras. They've been going through a lot of destruction and flooding down there. So they're taking money from players, from parents, dads, moms, anybody that where they can get it, and they're going to implement it down there. For a lot of the relief effort, for a lot of people who've sadly lost their homes and a lot of things that's important to them. So I'll drop it in my own social media feeds when we post this video, and hopefully you guys enjoy it and be sure to help if you can.
Okay. Great. Yeah. Very awesome. All right, everybody. Thank you again for joining us. Make sure you follow @SoccerCooligans on all social media platforms. Follow @FootballSports as well, and subscribe to the Football Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the program. All right. So let us end the show the way we normally do. So for Rachel Daly and Zarek Valentin, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans.